Will you pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation, the response of all our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be surprised to know that the Church has debated the doctrine of Trinity for hundreds of years. As non-doctrinal Free Church Baptists, we've never gotten too excited about that debate. But in today's text, Jesus speaks about Father and Son as if this is important. And today is Trinity Sunday. And when I came up to the pulpit, I found three packages of tissues. Trinity is this idea that God is three in one. One in three persons, we say. And the number three has meaning. It means perfection, fulfillment. It means wholeness, completeness. But then is it Father, Son, Holy Spirit? Of course, understanding that God is not literally a person. God transcends all human aspects like gender. But this is the kind of language that Jesus is using in John. Or is it more creator, redeemer, sanctifier, all good biblical terms? Or as one church I know says, the divine who moves around, among, and within us. And then who begets? Is beget the right word? Who begets whom in the Trinity? Or does one proceed from another or from both? And how? We could argue about functional equivalence and co-inherence and use heavy theological words like perichoresis. I asked some church members this week, what does Trinity mean to you? And the first person I asked responded with a sigh. And then a long silence. But then answers came. This one person said, it's like three aspects or faces of God. And a math person thought of geometry and said, if you just have two points, you can only draw a straight line between them. But if you have three, there is an endless, limitless possibility of the planes that you can create. Or a tripod is the most stable way to hold up a camera or a painting. One said it's like being invited to a place at the table with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Another described it as three notes that come together for a chord or harmony or music. These insightful theological metaphors for the Trinity join the text from John to describe who God is and how God moves in the world, which is important teaching that Jesus wants the disciples to understand before he leaves them. My favorite response of all the ones that I got from church members, however, was this. The Trinity is one of those mysteries I avoid thinking about too much. I have never been able to figure out what it has to do with living my life. Will your sermon make it all clear? I do rather enjoy singing Holy, Holy, Holy. Why does it matter? It really doesn't. Unless you believe that you are created in the image of God. that you want to follow in the way that God has created you to be and do. Then it's something like learning your genealogy. Let's find out where we come from, who we come from, who it is that's shaped and formed us, what's in our spiritual DNA to help us know how to live our lives, to become more fully who it is we are created to be. And it is mystery, yes. But what if Richard Rohr is right when he says that mystery is not just something that cannot be understood, or not so much something that cannot be understood, as it is something you can endlessly understand? Back to that fancy word, perichoresis. This is a bold, radical, maybe revolutionary idea about Trinity, and therefore about us. It means mutuality of relationship. It's about belonging to others. It's not just standing side by side. It's not just deploying one or another for this purpose or that. It's not water, steam, ice, which is the concept I learned in Sunday school a long time ago. It's not three someones adding up to the man upstairs. But it's a deep, mutual, moving, self-giving interplay, play, each one sharing joyfully, generously in the life of others. It's God as community, which is one way of defining love, isn't it? Christ, Spirit, God, coming, guiding, speaking, giving, and so much more, as Jesus teaches in John. The Celtic triquetra, which you see in the bulletin insert, is a beautiful ancient image of this interconnected, interwoven, all together, all belonging, three in one. But it's a contained image. An even better one is Rublev's Trinity icon, and there's copy of one by the door you can look at as you leave. This shows the three persons at the table, each one inclined to the other and creating a space for others who belong to come and join them. And this attraction of all things to all things, this perichoresis of Trinity, is everywhere. It's not just in the Bible. It's not just in some church debate. It's everywhere. It is the very physical structure of the universe, according to paleontologist, geologist, and Jesuit priest Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. He says it exists in gravity, in atomic bondings, in orbits, cycles, photosynthesis, ecosystems, force fields, sexuality, human friendship, animal instincts, evolution. All creation is about an energy that is attracting all things and all things to one another. And it all moves toward greater and greater wonderful diversity and deeper, more profound unity. It all holds together. This matters. We are daughters and sons of God who has embedded relationship, love in the whole world. And why wouldn't God do this? This is who God is. So, there is not a native, a Hindu, Christian, Buddhist, Muslim, Jewish way of loving? All belong. There's not a Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic way of stocking a food pantry with cereal. There's not a straight or gay way of forgiving. Not a Black, Euro, Latino, Asian way of hoping. Everyone belongs. We are bombarded by messages that shout otherwise. But the universal underlying language of love, the thing that we see in a triune God, keeps showing itself. At Hope Clinic last week, a few of us delivered the first 150 boxes of cereal that we have collected for their food pantry. And the person who was helping us to stock the shelves and taking us around said that our goal is to welcome everyone, to say in everything we do, including the quality of the cereal we give away, you are created in God's image. You belong here. On this Father's Day, I think of my dad, an American Baptist pastor who grew up in a time when Catholics and Protestants were not especially friendly toward one another. In our little town of Medina, New York, he made friends with the priest at St. Mary's. They led worship together. And then he welcomed and loved a Catholic son-in-law into our family. And then a story I have never been able to forget for years and years since I first heard it, about three Allied soldiers who were fighting in France in World War II. Good friends. One of them was killed in a battle, and the other two wanted to bury him, but not just out in the field. They wanted to find a meaningful and a beautiful place. So they went to the small town nearby and found a beautiful French churchyard with a cemetery, a fence all around it. And they went to the priest and asked if they could bury their friend there. The priest asked if he had been a Catholic. No, he had not. And so the priest said, "I'm very sorry, but this is a consecrated cemetery. It is for Catholics only. We cannot allow you to bury your friend in this place." So they went out and they did the next best thing. They found a place along the fence, but on the outside, and they buried their friend there. The next day they came back to pay their last respects, and when they went to the place where they remembered burying the friend, where they thought the grave was, they couldn't find it. They looked and looked, and finally they knocked on the priest's door and said, "We cannot find the grave." And the priest said, "Yes. Last night I could not sleep thinking about you and your love for your friend. And so I finally realized what I had to do. I got up and I moved the fence." Our triune God shows us and tells us, all of us, you belong. Does it matter? Yes. At the Center for Action and Contemplation in New Mexico, 2,000 people attended a conference trying to understand more fully who God is and how they might follow God more faithfully. There are people from many different faiths, even though this is a Catholic-centered retreat. They came from all cultures, all races, all nations. And at the conclusion, they read together a litany of belonging, because what they found was God's love is all about being open and welcoming to all. I invite you, as I read this litany, to respond as they did. Your response will be the words, "You belong," when you hear me say, "We say, you belong." We would like to let you know that you belong. People on all parts of the continuum of gender identity and expression, including those who are gay, bisexual, heterosexual, transgender, cisgender, queer folks, the sexually active, the celibate, and everyone for whom those labels don't apply, we say,
"You belong."
People of African descent, of Asian descent, of European descent, of First Nations descent, in this land and abroad, and people of mixed and multiple descents, and of all the languages, we say,
"You belong."
Bodies with all abilities and challenges, those living with any chronic medical condition, visible or invisible, mental or physical, we say,
"You belong."
People who identify as activists and those who don't, mystics, believers, seekers of all kinds, people of all ages, those who support you to be here, we say,
"You belong."
Your emotions, joy, fear, grief, contentment, disappointment, surprise, and all else that flows through you, we say,
"You belong."
Your families, genetic and otherwise, those dear to us who have died, our ancestors and the future ones, we say,
"You belong."
People who feel broken, lost, struggling, who suffer from self-doubt and self-judgment, we say,
"You belong."
And all beings that inhabit this earth, human or otherwise, the two-legged, the four-legged, the winged and finned, those that walk, fly, and crawl above the ground and below, in air and water, we say,
"You belong."
May it be so.